Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. That's about to get a whole lot more beautiful. Today is the children's Christmas service, and they are going to use their beautiful voices to guide us in our worship this morning. Everything you're going to need for the service is right in your worship bulletin this morning, and you'll see that the children are going to guide us through some very important questions, all based on one question. What child is this? Essentially, what makes Christmas so important? Who is Jesus and what did he do? May God bless you this morning as we ponder those questions.
Questions. How much of your day is filled with questions? Can you imagine how many questions you asked and answered today? Questions like, is it supposed to be sunny today? What's for supper? Did you make your bed? Or, where are my keys? Questions can be worthwhile because they help us learn. As little children, we questioned everything. And the more we questioned, the more we learned.
Today we will look at some questions about Christmas. This title of this service is based on a familiar question from an old Christmas carol. What child is this? That carol was first published in the 1800s by an insurance agent named William Chatterton Dix. William was a faithful Christian, and he loved writing poems about Jesus. Dix took his poem titled, What Child Is This?, and joined it with the enchanting English melody called Greensleeves. William Dix took little time in answering his title question because he quickly answers with the words, This is Christ the King. What a beautiful answer to such an important question.
Throughout this service, we will encounter many questions asked and answered as we ask the how, when, where, why, and what of Christmas. We will discover the story of God's love for us that was freely given to the world in the Bethlehem manger. And throughout our worship, many questions will be asked in our recitations and even in our hymns and songs. But the answers will all reflect the same comforting Christmas truth. This is Christ the King, the baby, the Son of Mary.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Little children, do you know who it was so long ago?
In a lowly stall was born on the first glad Christmas morn.
Yes, we know that God above, in the wonder of his love, as a holy babe was born to the world on Christmas morn.
Do you know who told the earth all about his sacred birth?
Today, you will hear many questions asked. Did you realize that already between the opening hymn and the responsive reading, we've asked 9 questions? I guess that makes 10 now. That's why the title of this service is, What Child Is This? It is a beautiful question we often hear asked at this time of year, as many of us sing that beautiful Christmas carol. Fortunately, we will not only ask the questions, but we will answer them all as well.
We want to give you answers today to the where, how, when, why, and what of Christmas. Each section of our service begins with a theme question, followed with a question right out of the Bible. Our first question is, where did it begin? The reason we are worshiping here today dates all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Here, we find in Genesis 3, verse 13, a very probing question.
What is this you have done?
Close your eyes and picture a mother walking into a child's bedroom, only to find that her 3-year-old daughter has just given herself a haircut. The floor is covered in golden locks of hair, and her head is covered in bare spots. Would you blame the mother for exclaiming, "What is this you have done?" Those few words sum up her anger, frustration, and disappointment in the child.
Now picture the Almighty God, looking you in the eye and asking you, "What is this you have done?" No doubt those words would cause your knees to shake. Hearing God voice his anger, frustration, and disappointment in you sounds frightening. Yet those are the exact words he spoke to Eve after she had eaten of the forbidden fruit. God gave Adam and Eve everything they could ever wish for in their new home.
But they were also given a will to do as they pleased. They could remain in perfect harmony with their father, or they could pursue other paths. Sadly, they chose to follow Satan.
Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gain,
The sin was committed. The perfect life was over. The perfect gifts God had given would now become tainted with sin. Life would surely be difficult, and death would follow. But God's love wasn't spoiled. God promised Adam and Eve that he would come to their rescue.
Do you know who would crush Satan's head? It was Jesus. He would come to the rescue. He would take on himself the punishment and anger of God's wrath. So we ask the question again, where did it all begin?
The first promise of a Savior was given in Eden 4,000 years before Jesus was born. God knew that it would be necessary to keep that promise alive, so he chose the Jewish people to be the keepers of that promise. Men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah were all told that Jesus would come from their offspring. He sent kings and prophets to keep reminding the people that the Messiah was coming. That brings us to the second question.
Isaiah was one of God's prophets. He warned the people of their sins, and he continually reminded them that Jesus would be coming. Perhaps the best-known chapter in Isaiah's book is chapter 53, where he describes Jesus' suffering and death. Isaiah begins in chapter 53 with these words.
Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the
stage was set. The plan was in its final stages. God had chosen the perfect place, the ideal people, and the exact time to fulfill his promise made in Eden. Like a flower beginning to open, we can see God's plan unfold. Wouldn't it make sense then to ask the next question?
When did the miracle happen?
As we study the prophecies, we notice that as they grew nearer to the birth of Christ, the prophecies became clearer and more detailed as God gave more and more hints of his plan. Then, at the exact moment when it was all ready, God put his plan in motion.
Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rest of sons.
It began in Nazareth, a tiny village in northern Palestine, where a simple woman named Mary was engaged to a young man named Joseph. One day, as she was carrying out her daily chores, God's messenger, Angel Gabriel, came to her and told her.
But Mary was startled and confused, so she asked the angel this question.
Luke 1, verse 34. How will this be, since I am a virgin? Luke 1, verse 35. The angels answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born of you will be called the
And Gabriel continued to tell her that God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, would work miracles in her because with God, nothing is impossible. What a wonderful beginning to the miracle of Christmas. Jesus was to be both the Son of Man and the very Son of God.
Thank you.
How did God get Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem? What happened the night Jesus was born? God's plan came to earth when Jesus was placed in the womb of Mary. From that point on, Jesus lived his life as a man. He felt pain, needed to eat and rest, shed tears, and became tired. His heart ached as he experienced every part of our lives. And it all began in the manger in Bethlehem on that Christmas night so long ago. That's where we can find the King of all people. This is how it happened.
Because he belonged.
We have heard that Christmas story many times, yet it always seems fresh and new. But if the story from Luke 2 was all there was to Christmas, that would leave us with little hope. The story only begins in Bethlehem. Jesus grew to be a man, just like his friends in Nazareth. And when he was 30 years old, he began his ministry. For 3 years, Jesus taught the people about the way to heaven. He healed the sick, comforted the poor, and even raised some to life again. All the while, he was looking forward to that faithful day when he would have to die on the cross for us. During that ministry, Jesus asked his share of questions too. Can you remember when Jesus asked these questions?
Why do you worry about clothes? Matthew 6:28.
Why are you so afraid? Matthew 8:26.
Do you believe that I am able to do this? Matthew 9:28.
Why did you doubt? Matthew 14:31.
How many loaves do you have? Matthew 15:34.
You touched my clothes. Mark 5:30.
Did you not keep watch for 1 hour? Mark 14:37.
Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Luke 2:49.
Have I not chosen you? John 6:17.
Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? John 20:15.
Perhaps the gravest question our Savior ever asked was on Good Friday when he looked up from the sky, when he looked up from his cross to heaven and cried out,
my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46.
Those words summed up Jesus' life and death. His own Father had forsaken him so he could bear our sins and accept all the punishment that was ours. How could we ever thank him? And that's why Jesus asked this question of the travelers on the road to Emmaus.
Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?
During our next song, the ushers are going to come forward to gather the offering. And then if you receive one of these connection cards on the way in, we would ask that you fill it out and pass it to the center aisle, and then the ushers will come and pick these up. Thank you.
There was a babe born in Bethlehem. He came to save us all. There was a babe born in Nazareth.
We've asked and answered a lot of questions today in the Bible passages we shared and in the songs we sang. We have gone back to the time when sin first began. We have seen how the prophets kept the promise of a Savior alive. We were there when the angel Gabriel visited Mary, and we certainly revisited the stable and once again enjoyed the account of Jesus' birth. But all that is meaningless if we don't put it to use. Interestingly, this last question was posed by Pontius Pilate at Jesus' trial. No doubt it is a question people throughout the ages have also asked.
What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?
Fortunately, we have God's word where we can easily find answers to that question. So I ask the question once again. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?
Acts 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your
John 10, verse 20.
We pray. God of all mercy, you have saved us and have given us eternal life through your Son, Jesus. Be with us as we continue to look in awe and amazement at that first Christmas night. Motivate us to fearlessly testify to the world, as these children have done today, that our Savior died for our sins and rose to life to prove it. Give your powerful hand to Carrie Schwieger, Betty Oskin, Judy Washburn, Stan Kuhlman, David Haugen, Betty Martin, Diana Didi, Brian Sampaio, and all those battling health challenges. If it is your will, heal them. If it is not your will, then sustain them and strengthen them in your grace. Show them daily your love in and our hope founded on Jesus. We also come to you on behalf of Alex Hioko and ask that you bless his upcoming surgery. Bring peace and comfort to Alex and his family, and give him healing and strength during his recovery. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and also as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. We join together in joy to the world.
Bells don't know that we changed the schedule today. Let's praise Jesus for our students' message that they shared with us this morning with some clapping. truly our students' privilege and pleasure to share the good news of Jesus' birth, but not only his birth, God's plan for our salvation with you this morning. If you're a guest or a visitor with us, we have a special gift for you. As you leave, and to the right, there's a counter that we call the Visitor Center, and that's where you can pick up your gift. I'll let you see the surprise when you get there. But please do stop by. We'd like to send you home with that little gift. Looking ahead to next Sunday, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day worship, special opportunities to gather in God's house again and praise the newborn baby Jesus. Given that Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, we're going to be changing our normal schedule. We've been announcing this for weeks, but hopefully it's catching on. Sunday morning, we're only going to have one service at 9:30, and then our Christmas Eve worship services will be in the evening at 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and then on Christmas Day, we'll come back together at 10:30. So those worship times can be found in the news flyer. You can pick up a copy of the news flyer on your way out this morning. We also have one more Advent service this Wednesday evening, dinner in the gym at 5:30, and then a worship service at 7 o'clock, a great opportunity to prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus' birth next weekend. On your way out this morning, at either side of the side doors, there's a little table, and on it you can find these invitation cards. If you have anyone in your life, or a neighbor, or a coworker with whom you'd like to share these worship opportunities at St. Mark's quick and easy, feel free to pick up as many of these invitations as you'd like and share them with people that you know. Also in the news flyer, if you pick up a copy, a couple announcements I'm going to quickly highlight. Tomorrow, we have our annual Paws roller skating outing over at Sunrise Rollerland. Everyone's welcome to come. We'll have the rink to ourselves from 4:45 to 6:45. We're also going to have an ugly Christmas sweater contest. So make it a little bit more fun. Great opportunity for some exercise and some fun. Please join us for roller skating. And then also in the news flyer, I put in a bunch of articles coming enrollment season for our school. When we get to January 1st, we really start looking forward to next year. We start getting new enrollees. Our current families start to recommit. So there's some information in there about some open house events coming up and some other really important information that'll start getting us ready for the new school year. Also, if you're a guest this morning and you'd like some information about our school, we have a counter in the back to the right, brochures and some other things, an easy way to get some information about our school. Lastly, this morning, as we dismiss, we'd like you to greet one another, but then head over to the gymnasium. We have some Christmas treats waiting for you there, a time of fellowship, and then our students will be entertaining us with some more Christmas piano music. Again, thank you for being in God's house together this morning. May God richly bless your celebration of Christ's birth.